The question why is one of those things often asked about Christianity. Why should I become a Christian person? We'll discover the answer today. This is The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton. And today we head to Philippians chapter 4 to answer that question, why should I become a Christian person? It could be just a tool you need to share your faith with someone you know and love. The Encouraging Word. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
You know, every now and again, God gives me an opportunity to preach on a favorite subject. And so this morning, I'm not going to preach on Nehemiah. We will pick up next week with our study on Nehemiah. I want to speak to you this morning on probably one of my favorite subjects in all of the world. It comes in the form of a question. You see, we ask of ourselves many questions as we live this life. We say, well, why do you go to USC instead of Clemson? And we give our reasons. And we say, why do you live here instead of there? And we give our reasons. And we say, why do you prefer this over that? And why do you like this kind of meat instead of that kind of meat? And why do you make this decision instead of that decision? We're always searching somehow to find an answer and a reason as to why people do what they do. But you know, the greatest question that we could ask anybody for ourselves is, why am I a Christian? That's a very basic question, isn't it? You know, as I look around our world today and here in the United States of America, from sea to shining sea, the one question that needs to be asked perhaps more than anything else is, why am I a Christian? Why should you become a Christian? What is there about this God whom we serve that makes it absolutely imperative for you and for me to hand our lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, I'm sure that you can appreciate, for those who know Jesus, that there are many, many, many different reasons. And we could never answer all of those this morning. But I want us to have a look at it, and I want you to take a copy of God's Word today, right there at home, here in our church, and turn to Paul's letter to the Philippians and chapter 4. This is a remarkable passage of Scripture. And just to give you a little background, in Paul's letter to the Philippians, one of the New Testament epistles or letters, you know that it's a letter because you can go back to the beginning of it, to chapter 1, and you're going to read there that Paul and Timothy write to all the saints who are at Philippi. In fact, back in those days, they used to turn their letters back to front. They used to start out with love from Paul and Timothy. Then they would get on and they would talk to you, and then they would say, Dear Joe Evelyn at the end of it. That's how they would get there. They just kind of turned their flip-flop on their letters. But this is one of those letters, and there's something very remarkable about this letter that Paul wrote to these people in this place called Philippi. Did you know that Paul wrote this letter in the bottom of a Roman prison? He was writing this letter under duress. He was experiencing the worst kind of circumstances that you could ever experience. You know what prison was like back there in those days? It was in many, many instances a massive hole in the ground. And what would happen to a person when they were committed to prison? They were literally taken and they were put onto this rope or chain, and they were let down into this bottomless pit, into this dark hole, way down where nobody could see them. And they would have a hole that could accommodate perhaps 20 people, and they would put 50 people in there. And many times people never came out of there. They didn't have adequate oxygen. They didn't have any kind of facilities. Can you imagine the smell down there, folks? Can you imagine the disease? Can you imagine what these people went through? We don't like to talk about it in civilized society, but do you know that Paul wrote this letter from the pit of a Roman prison? And yet we are going to discover today that in Philippians chapter 4, Paul begins to talk with such unparalleled joy and with such unparalleled fervor in his heart and soul, all because of the fact that he knew Jesus Christ. What's this all about? I think one of the things we might have said to Paul was simply this: Paul, wait a minute, you were beaten, you were bruised, you were shipwrecked, you were dumped in a Roman prison, you were abandoned, you were scoffed at, blasphemed at, you were spat on and sat on, and yet you're able to say the things that you say in Paul's letter to the Philippians. How can these things be? Perhaps what Paul would have said is simply this: because I am a Christian. Well, Paul, why are you a Christian? Can your God do the same thing for me? Is the Jesus who died for you the same one who died for me? Can Jesus come into my heart and give me the same kind of joy? Can He bring my marriage together again? Can He give me hope beyond the grave? Can He write a new song upon my heart? Can He do something for me that no one else can do? Let's read about it. You follow along with me. I'm going to read some select verses in Philippians chapter 4. Remember, this is right at the end of his letters. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, this is how you should stand firm in the Lord Jesus, dear friends. I plead with Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Just hold on there a second. You see, Paul, right here, even in a prison, he's pleading for spiritual unity. He's saying, whatever happens because of the Lord Jesus Christ, be of the same mind. I think Paul understood that if there's one thing Satan wants to do to Christians, he wants to tear them apart. And he'll look for an opportunity to do it. Listen. Look at verse 3. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, here it is, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. I wonder if there's anyone out here today who's suffering from anxiety. Paul says, and God's word tells us, do not be anxious for anything. But he doesn't just leave it there. He doesn't just sweep it aside. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And what will happen? What will happen if you follow God's basic blueprint? Here it is. Look at verse 7. Marvelous verse. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. You know, I finally figured out where the Beacon gets their good name from. They're always going to give it to you a plenty. I like that, don't you? And you know what God's word says? That's exactly what I'm going to do to you. I'm going to sit you down at the Beacon. I'm going to sit you down at the feast table of the King, and I'm going to give you plenty. I'm going to give you so much, you're going to doubt very seriously whether you can get up and return to the motor car. Look at verse 14. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, let's go down to verse 19. Verse 19. And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. May the Lord write His word upon our hearts this morning. If I was to come to you right now, or you were to come to me, and I was to say to you, why are you a Christian? What would you say? If I was to come to you right now and say to you, why should I become a Christian? What is there in your life that is a public demonstration to me that would make me want to do what you have done? Well, there are many reasons here that the Apostle Paul gives. I'd like to focus on just four this morning. First of all, Paul says, I know that I'm a Christian, and I am a Christian, number one, because I know His purpose. I know His purpose. You see, friend, if you study verse 3, and if you understand what verse 3 is all about, what the Apostle Paul is saying is that the single greatest reason for giving your life to the Lord Jesus Christ is that you can come to know the purpose of God for you. Well, what is His purpose? It's right there in verse 3. Look at it. Whose names are in the book of life. Scripture tells us that God has this book. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. You can read about it in Revelation. You can read about it in the Gospels. It is the Lamb's Book of Life. And the Bible says that the instantaneous moment that a man, woman, boy, or girl give their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ, that God writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I've often wondered why it is that God needs a book. That's what the Bible says. I mean, why does God need a book? I think God knows all about us, don't you? And yet He has this book. I've become convinced today that it's not that God needs a book. It's that you and I need a book. Because the book is the ultimate confirmation of the acceptance of the purpose of God. And here's what Matthew's gospel says. Matthew's gospel says that when we die and we come to stand before God, there are going to be many people in Matthew chapter 7 who are going to say, but Lord, Lord, I did this in Your name, and Lord, I did that in Your name. You know, as a young boy, I used to hear my father preaching on heaven and hell, and I guess like all young people, I used to sit there sometimes in fear and trepidation, other times in great joy, but I had this vivid imagination, and some of you say you've still got it. Well, I have this vivid imagination, and I could just picture God sitting in His throne room on that great day with numbers of people, the number of whom is as of the sand of the sea, according to the book of Revelation, standing before the great white throne judge and coming up to Him and the angel of God saying, name please. Well, my name is George Daniel. Well, sir, let me have a look and see whether your name is here in God's book. Well, it's got to be there, Lord. You know, I was born in America, and so I have every confidence that my name is right there. That's God's purpose, is automatically to save all Americans. And so I look up and, well, so I don't see George Daniel in there. Well, it's got to be. Lord, You don't understand. I belong to the Boy Scouts. In fact, I was given an award on a Sunday morning. My name must be in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, sir, I don't know that that fits in with the criterion that You've set before us. But Lord, You don't understand. I was deacon at First Baptist Church. That's it. Well, George, I don't see that that fits into the criterion. But Lord, I was an elder at the Presbyterian Church. Lord, I was a priest. Lord, I did this in Your name. And I know what it is. I know why it's not there. I'm actually George Daniel III. See, my grandfather was George Daniel, and he was a, oh yeah, we know about your grandfather. He served the Lord all his life, was born in Ireland. That's right, I'm of Irish descent. And he loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And George Daniel II, you'll never know your father, George, how much the angels in heaven rejoiced about your daddy. You know, he emigrated from Ireland, in fact, Belfast, wasn't it? And he came over and lived here in the United States and used to put on his green stuff every Irish day. And I mean, he could sing those Irish songs. He was Irish until the day he died. But you know, right throughout his life, your father, George Daniel II, had no time for the Lord Jesus Christ. Never went to church, He blasphemed, drank a lot. He was a tough man. Everybody knew him. He was the center of popularity. He belonged to every club and every organization. But do you know what happened to your dad, George? It was a Sunday morning, and it had been snowing. Nobody came to church, but your dad, for some reason, came that day. And that day, at the age of 67, your father gave his life to Jesus Christ. Your father said, "Lord God, if you can forgive me, if that's your purpose for my life, I want to turn my life over to you. If you can forgive me, no matter what I've done, if you can wipe the slate clean, if you can put a new song upon my heart, if you can write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, I'm ready to turn my life over." I want you to know, George, the angels in heaven went berserk. Because God is the God of forgiveness. It's never too late until you die. You know, your daddy died 2 months later, George. And God issued his dispatch. The trumpet sounded. And we angels went catapulting and cascading down heaven's sliding gates, down right there into that room where your father died so suddenly of a heart attack. And we picked him up, only a born-again believer, for 2 short months of his life. And we transported him, we angels did, and we seated him down at the feast table of the king. "Well, that's it then," says George. "My name's got to be there, Lord. Surely you've got a family plan for salvation." I mean, my daddy, my granddaddy, come on, let's have a little bit of equity around here. "Well, George, I'm afraid your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life." You see, George, God's purpose for you, as it was for Paul, is that you personally can know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let me ask you a question today. Why are you a Christian? You see, God has a purpose for every person. He came to die upon the cross. He gave himself, he took upon himself no reputation. He took upon himself the sin of the world in order that we might come to be reconciled to God the Father, that we can come back to be joined with him. In fact, he put it like this. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto God the Father but by me." That's my purpose for you. That's the reason for Easter, that's the reason for the season. At Christmas, that's the reason for everything, is that I died for you. And because I gave my life to you, you can be forgiven. You can be reconciled. You can be set in the right direction. You can have joy again. That's my purpose. And then when you accept me, I have another purpose for you. And that is, as a born-again believer, my purpose is that you should know and do my will. That's my purpose for you as a Christian. You see, purpose in God doesn't stop at the moment of salvation. We are saved not to sit. We're saved to serve according to the purpose of God. And the reason I'm a Christian is because God is continuing to work out his purpose in my life.
Forgive the interruption, but Dr. Don wants me to remind you that you're listening to The Encouraging Word, and it's our goal to encourage you. It could be on the phone right now at 866-899-WORD. If you need to talk with someone, pray with someone, or need help connecting resources, we're here again at 866-899-9673, or online at tewonline.org with great resources like this.
The Daily Encouraging Word is a daily devotional made available in a quarterly booklet or delivered each morning in your email inbox. If you would like to request this free devotional, please call 866-899-WORD or visit our website at theencouragingword.org. We are confident that it will be a blessing to you. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. Thank you for listening today.
Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton here on The Encouraging Word.
Yes, I can know God's purpose. But there's a second reason, Paul would have said, because I can enjoy God's peace. I can enjoy his peace. Look at verse 7, one of my favorite verses. "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding," or transcends all understanding, "will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." I wonder if you really have peace today. The world today is looking for peace. They're struggling to find peace. Many years ago, I found myself in the Namib and Kalahari deserts of Central Africa. It was an incredible experience. But I remember one occasion in particular when one of those big sandstorms came up. If you've ever been in a hurricane or a tornado, you want to be in one of those things in the middle of a desert. And I know many of the men who served up north in the wars will know what I'm talking about. And those who came back from Desert Storm, there's something horrible about being in the desert. It is so forsaken and so desolate. Sand gets into everything. And I remember one day on our radios, I was a tank commander, and I remember the battalion commander coming over and saying, there is a major storm approaching. We drew ourselves into what was called a lager. In other words, the tanks and armored vehicles in a circle to prevent the enemy from attacking. And we pulled these things into a circle, and we had to get out of our vehicles, and we had to sit down near the tracks of the tanks, the Centurion Mark V's that we were in, and we had to pull tarpaulins and try and hold them down. And you could see that storm approaching, and all of a sudden it hit. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I thought I wasn't going to make it. For about 5 hours, that wind blew so hard that even these mighty tonnage, these tanks that weighed more than you could ever imagine, were swaying in the wind. And that sand began to build up, and you could feel it building up. It was just piling up and piling up, and eventually it was right over us. We were in sand igloos that were as hot as anything, if you please. And finally, after all this had gone on for about 5 hours, just suddenly it stopped, just like that. And I remember beginning to dig out from behind these mountains of sand. And we dug out a little this way, and we dug out a little bit that way. And finally, I got my nose out a hole, and I looked out into the lager area in our tanks, and I could see little holes appearing all over the place. And I looked around, and there was such quiet. There was such peace. And I remembered the words of the Lord Jesus Christ through His servant, the Apostle. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. What kind of condition is your home in? Is there a lot of conflict in your home? You want to have peace? Turn your life and your home over to Jesus. You have conflict at work? Turn your work over to Jesus. You got conflict in your own heart? Are you one of these people who are always out for a fight somewhere? Have you ever met someone like that? Always arguing, always fussing, always contradicting. Always unhappy about something. It doesn't matter what it is, they're going to be unhappy. You can guarantee it. In fact, you know they're around, because when everything goes wonderfully well, count to five and their heads will pop up. If everybody says it's white, you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, they stand up and say, no, I believe it's black. If everybody says it's this way, count to five, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, they stand up and say, no, it's this way. And in fact, they even justify it and rationalize it by telling you that they believe God has laid it upon their hearts to be the personal people dispatched by God to set the world and their organization straight. This is God's special mission to them. You know what they're saying? They're saying, I've got no peace. I'm a person in conflict. I'm always looking for something. I'm always upset about something. There are people all over the world, it doesn't matter how green the grass is, they're always going to find something wrong. They're the saddest people on the face of the earth. You know what the Bible says? You don't have to live like that. The peace of God, which passes all understanding. Paul says in the third place, I'm a Christian not only because I know His purpose and because I enjoy His peace, but because I can receive His power. I love this one. It's right there in verse 13. I can do all things. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. When I'm among our senior citizens, I think of this verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you know why, friends? Because what God says, that God is able to deliver, that He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or even think. God gives to us His strength. But there's one more thing that Paul says. He says, not only can I know His purpose and enjoy His peace and receive His power, but I can experience His provision. Verse 19. Look at verse 19. And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. You know, that's God's blank check. I like blank checks, don't you? That's God's blank check. God writes to His children a blank check. He says, fill it out. He says, I'm going to provide all your needs. Why is this God's blank check? The firm is my God. Look at this verse. Look at it with me. The firm is my God. The promises shall supply. The amount is all your need. The capital is according to His riches. The bank is in glory. And the signature is by Christ Jesus. What does that tell us about God's blank check? It tells us a lot of things. It tells us that this bank will never go bankrupt. This promise is absolutely certain. The amount is always sufficient. The capital is absolutely limitless. This bank can never be robbed. And the signature by Christ Jesus is upon every single check. My God shall supply your need.
It's a powerful truth to know that God is ready to deliver on that promise. I pray that you and I know that as God meets our needs, He meets them to us as His children. Are you a child of God? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? You've heard Dr. Don teaching from Philippians 4, but I pray you'd open your heart right now to what Dr. Don wants to share from his heart.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
If you just prayed that prayer along with Dr. Wilton, maybe to dedicate your life to Christ or rededicate your life to Christ, please know we're excited to welcome you to the family of God and excited to help you with the next steps of growing in your faith. You can connect with us right now at 866-899-WORD. Jot the number down, store it in your cell, 866-899-9673. We'll connect you with one of us 24 hours a day. And if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, Dr. Don wants you to have some specific detailed information that'll help you grow or rededicate your life. Again, Dr. Don has a special packet just for you if you'll call and ask for it at 866-899-9673. We're also connecting on our website at tewonline.org. I pray you drop by and see us, even if you haven't been in a while. Things are changing, and it's a great place to sign up for the Daily Encouraging Word email. Again, that's online at tewonline.org. Let's connect today. The Encouraging Word.